This episode of Transmissions is brought to you by Prime Toys, where you can get collector-grade toys without the collector-grade prices. Use the code TRANSMISSIONS at checkout for 10% off all regularly priced Transformers-related items at PrimeToys.net. This includes all Hasbro, Takara, and third-party transforming toys. Please visit them via the image on our site or go to TransmissionsPodcast.com/PrimeToys. This episode is also brought to you with the support of our listeners. If you're able to donate, please visit our support page at transmissionspodcast.com/support. On that page, you will find links to donate via Patreon or PayPal. If you can't donate monetarily, please help us out by spreading the word about our show.
Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, Jeremy reviews Transformers Till All Are One, Issue 8. We discuss the 8 Transformers The Last Night motion posters, and you can now dress up your pets as live-action Transformers characters. We have all of this and so very much more on this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that is currently waiting for Charles to get back before we review Transformers vs. G.I. Joe the movie. I am your host, Daryl, also known as the Cybertronian Beast, and I am joined by the excellent Transmissions team, Yusuf, also known as Yoshi.
Yo!
And Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, hey, how you doing? Let's talk Transformers.
You bastard. All right, we got a little bit of sad news we're going to start off with. We were informed earlier on that... artist Dave Hunt passed away. He was 75 years old. He was known for working for Marvel and DC back in the 70s and 80s. But he was known to Transformers fans because he worked on the original Marvel Transformers title. He was the inker and worked on issues 38, 45, 47, 50... the pivotal 50th issue, 52, 53, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 63. So 12 issues in total, but yeah, unfortunately we lost Mr. Hunt on March the 6th, I think.
5th.
5th.
It was reported on the 6th.
Yeah. So yeah. Sorry to hear that. Our condolences to his family, and yeah, that's too bad. Moving on, we have a donation to report on, and current Patreon Brian increased his pledge. So well done, Brian! Thank you very much for that. We very much appreciate it, and you are definitely in for the new Patreon reward tier that. The new addition kind of.
He was already on it at his previous level.
Well, he was, but I wasn't going to mention that. But yeah, okay. You're already in. Good going, Brian.
Sorry.
You get it. So Jeremy came up with an idea, and we just let him run with it because he was going to do all the work. And basically, I'm going to let you talk about it, Jeremy, because it's your idea. Go nuts, man.
All right. So, basically, our $5 level, it has been, you sign up, and one of the things was you get a sticker. And it took us a while, actually, to get everyone their stickers, because people would join, and then we'd have to send them a sticker. And we were like, well, one, the people that have been supporting for a long time, they've already got their sticker. Yay. That's, you know, but then, you know, nothing after that in terms of us giving you something. And then, you know, it's hard to keep up with when people are, you know, constantly joining. So we thought a good way of solving both problems is we're creating exclusive Transmissions goodies, swag. It'll be stickers, buttons, you know, coaster, you know, whatever we can think of. And at least 3 times a year, we will be sending everyone at the $5 level and up this, and it'll be exclusive to Patreon people that were subscribed at the time that we send it out. If you subscribe after, then you have to wait until the next time we send something out. I'm sorry, that's just it's easier to just send out one big batch of everything, and it seems like a you know, kind of like those you know, box things you subscribe to every, you know, they're popular now, kind of a yeah, Loot Crate, something like that, kind of inspired by that, but a way we could do it with a Patreon. And we've just sent out the first batch. We're not saying what is being sent out. We'll just be letting people know, hey, we're going to be sending something out later this week. Verify your addresses are correct. And then we'll let you know when things have shipped out. And when you get stuff, take a picture of it. You know, let people know on social media. Let us know. You know, we'd love to see pictures of you with whatever we sent. I think it's a fun thing, you know, personally knowing where all our things are going. Like, there is one that's going to be going to Australia. We have people in the UK and Canada. I mean, they're going all over the world, and I would just love to see, stuff that we sent
you
out.
If we sent you a pencil with Transmissions engraved on it, we want you to take a picture of it, right, and plaster it everywhere.
Right, exactly. Okay. You're just still trying to get rid of those Value Village pencils, aren't you?
I am. It really, really was painful to go in there with an X-Acto knife and put in Transmissions in front of that.
Yeah. All right. So that's basically the Patreon reward. So we're like I said, it's already in effect. We sent out the first batch today, and when you get it, let us know, and we'll let you know when the next time we're going to do it. It'll be in a few months. We're trying to make these exclusive. You're not going to be able to see these at conventions. We're trying to make things just, you know, increase the value of, you know, being a member of our Patreon. So that's it.
Awesome.
That's cool.
Okay, moving on. Comic news. The June solicitations are out for IDW, and we've got a bunch of new stuff coming out. Holy cow. The Transformers Salvation book that, if you listened to our Transmissions Extra that Yoshi had on Monday, then you will have heard it first there when he talked to Livio Remondelli at Emerald City Comic Con. But that is going to be coming out in June. And
that's the third part of the trilogy that they've been working on.
Yeah, and that's in the interview, Jeremy.
What the fuck, Mike, was the point of me editing this whole thing?
Mike, you're just edit that out.
What we talked about.
That was a really good scoop for you, Yoshi, at Emerald City. Well done.
Yeah. It's because they trust us as a media outlet.
That, and they were like, we can announce it before he actually gets finished editing.
Fuck you.
Next, Optimus Prime number 8, Transformers Lost Light number 7, Till All Are One number 11, Revolutionaries number 7, Hasbro Heroes Sourcebook number 2, man, I want that, and then the Till All Are One trade paperback volume 2, and lastly, Revolutionaries trade paperback volume 1. We also got some really interesting news dropped from Guido Guidi this week, which was he just kind of casually on Twitter, and I was on Twitter while he was tweeting these out. He just tweeted out some sketches that he did for the concept back when Dreamwave was doing Heart of Steel. So he did some concept sketches for Soundwave and Scourge from Heart of Steel. And Soundwave looks neat. I thought he was really cool. He's even got a rumble, or I guess it might have even been, I don't know what he called it here. It might have been Frenzy, but it's it's the red and black one, so whatever Frumble you pick. But Soundwave's a train, and out from the back pops the cassette, which also rolls on the track. And I don't know, I think that looks really cool. And then for Scourge, there is not a alt mode, but it does look a lot like... What?
He did tweet a picture of the alt mode. I don't know why don't have a picture here.
But he does say in the top... It's a Zeppelin. He does say it's a Zeppelin, yeah. So, but the robot mode does look a lot like the 86 movie design. So he does keep it very close to the chest on that one. But no, this was really cool to see as it came out there. And lastly, there was a review done for Transformers vs. G.I. Joe the movie by the AV Club. And if you're really curious about reading a review about that stapled piece of hot garbage, go and take a look. But eventually we'll figure out how to review that. I don't know. How do you review garbage? I don't know. What do you do with that?
Daryl. Just because you don't like something doesn't mean it's garbage.
That's true. And I haven't read it yet. It's multifactored
because two of us don't like it.
I haven't read it. I'm going to read it. And I did buy it, so I'm going to read it. I'm definitely not going at it with the best intentions.
I just think it's great that a publication as popular as AV Club is putting a spotlight on the comics.
I've never heard of AV Club.
Oh, I have.
It's an offshoot of The Onion, but it's like all legit stuff.
Oh, okay.
They're really popular in the U.S. at least.
Hmm. Yeah, they're not very big over here, at least with the crowd I'm in. So, all right, cool. Well, good for Transformers then. Anyway, that's comics news. Let's move into the comic review.
So, this week we are reviewing Till All Are One number 8. This is written by Margaret Scott. Art is by Sarah Petra Durocher. Colors by Joanna LaFuente. Letters by Tom B. Long. Editor is Carlos Guzman. And publisher is Ted Adams. So we have three covers this week. The retail cover shows Metroplex and another Titan looking up as a new contender is entering the arena. In a very kind of painted, smoky looking cover. That is by SPD, Sarah Petra Durocher. The subscription cover has Windblade being seen inside the reverse silhouette of an unknown threat. I think she's like afraid that she's about to be trapped into a third-party toy or something. This is by Priscilla Tramontano. And then the retailer incentive cover has Starscream and Windblade back-to-back with their alt modes underneath them by Nelson Daniel. Yoshi, which one did you like?
Well, IDW, put the fucking issue number in the right spot, for the love of Christ.
That's the new textures.
If I were buying one, it would be the Priscilla Tramontano subscription cover.
Okay, cool. Daryl, which one did you like?
Sarah's cover is awesome. It's so ominous. The just the glow of that light and whatnot, you really have no idea what's coming, but you're, you know, knowing how big Metroplex and Metro Titan are, you're looking up at thinking, holy fuck, what is this? You know, yeah. we were the biggest guys in town. We were the town. What is this thing coming?
We were the town.
So, quite literally.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the cover I'm liking.
Yeah, I'm the same way. That's my favorite this month. I just love this painted look that she does, and I mean it's clear why they're using her stuff on a lot of the box art.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that Nelson Daniel one, I was not impressed at all. You know, that one that he did that we gave so much flack for with doing the Megatron alt mode.
Yeah.
It at least was good art, I thought. You know, we had other reasons to be upset. This one just, I don't know, it just does not look good at all. I mean, the heads are horrible.
I have a question.
Okay.
On the inside cover, where it shows all three of the covers,
mm-hmm.
Who's that handsome robot in the background?
Charles.
That is Vigilum.
Oh.
The former Carcer.
Okay.
Okay, so let's get into this book. The title of the story is Rubicon. Metroplex lies on the ground, essentially paralyzed, as zombie titans destroy the world around him. His systems are rebooting, and he detects an energy spike inside Carcer, no, Vigilum's brain module. He immediately knows that Windblade has merged with the Titan. He reveals a bit of the history of Vigilum. Metroplex and two other Titans had stripped Vigilum of his name, of his mind, and exiled him to deep space. Inside Vigilum, Windblade starts to realize her mistake as he begins to come back online. Obsidian pleads with her to keep him dormant, but he's being held down by Tigatron and the others. Windblade begins fighting his control, as Cybertron still needs the Titan. Elsewhere aboard Vigilum, Elita One feels him beginning to awaken. She orders her people to execute attack plan 001 as the Titan begins to transform. Windblade is fighting hard for control, reaching out across the Titan's circuits into his limbs. The joints are old, and Elita's crew has added on to the structure over time, but she's able to take control of the Titan and transform him fully. With Devastator in the Titan's giant hand, they begin to crash towards the surface of Cybertron. Vigilum cries out, "Devastator, devastate," and throws the combiner at a zombie Titan. Then, with an impact seen by everyone on the surface, Vigilum is on Cybertron once more. The population is elated, while Chromia just cares about the well-being of her friend. Windblade finds that using a Titan's body is like moving through molasses. She's slow, but more than capable of defeating a number of zombie Titans. However, with her attention split between fighting the other Titans and holding off Vigilum, the Titan is once again to take control of his own body. The Titan is once again able to take control of his own body. Seeing what is happening, but still unable to move, Metroplex is able to connect through Cybertron itself to Chromia's cell. He engineers an escape for her and explains that she needs to save Windblade, and she runs off to help her friend. Vigilum is finishing off the other Titans when he notices Metroplex laying nearby. He feels Metroplex's mind is still working and reminds the city bot that he hasn't forgotten what was done to him. His threats are enough to give Windblade a burst of energy, and she begins to fight for control again. Vigilum slows down as she begins to regain control, but she also realizes that this isn't a battle that she can ultimately win. Suddenly, many things begin to happen at once. Elita has made her way to the brain module chamber, Chromia is making her way to the Titan, and elsewhere, Alita's forces are on guard as something is beginning to make its way out of a locked door. As Alita makes her way into the brain module chamber, Obsidian pleads with her not to fire on the Titan's brain module. Alita states that she swore to never let Vigilum or his master roam free again, and fires on the brain. It explodes, with Windblade still connected, as the door that the other forces are guarding blows open at the same time. Chromia arrives and finds her friend unconscious as Alita continues to fire at the brain module. From the other door, Loki appears. No, it's not Loki. It's Liege Maximo. He thanks Vigilum and teleports away. Starscream is elated. They actually did it. They won, as Chromia cradles her friend's lifeless body. So this was a very action-packed issue. Titans on Titans. It is read to like the point of an action movie where, you know, all the action has happened, and there's just one more act to go where you wrap everything up. We see now that Alita isn't exactly evil so much as she's just harsh and cruel. She had a task And as they're prone to do, the other Cybertronians happen to ruin it for her. There's so much that I actually loved about this book. I love the action. I love the teases of the backstory to Metroplex that involves Liege Maximo, who is one of the 13 primes. We've never really gotten significant fiction about this guy. He popped up originally in G2, and you know, he's come here and there, but we've never really had a significant big meaty story that I've read with him. So I'm looking forward to seeing where this is going. Though from the preview of the next issue, it looks like they might make us wait a little while, which I'm also fine with. Let's see the fallout of this. What happens? What's going to happen with Windblade, Chromia, all this stuff? There's enough going on that they can, tease a big bad and then come back to it a little bit later. I thought this art was fantastic. Sarah did a really good job with all these Titans. They actually do look different. That was one of our big complaints early on, was a lot of the Titans look the same. And you're starting to see different Titans here. The only issue I had was at the end of the book, where I didn't really realize what was happening with Liege Maximo. And I actually pinged Sarah on Facebook, and she confirmed that he is teleporting away. So that is my review. What do you guys think of this book? Daryl.
It was good. It was, like you said, it was an action-packed book. I enjoyed the ride. The art's very good. From the cover, I expected Vigilum to be bigger.
Right. Because they were looking up at him.
Yeah, they were looking way the hell up. So, it's a little disappointing that he's not that much bigger, but it's fine. He is physically bigger than Metroplex, so that's fine. I liked the image of him holding Devastator as they crashed to the planet.
It was like he had a toy.
Exactly. And that's always an interesting image. The book's really good, and I don't know. I like these battle books. The idea of Windblade controlling Vigilum and fighting with the entire body, I didn't think that was one of her abilities. Taking control, I think she was more of, I thought of her ability as a city speaker was to be able to communicate for the Titan, to be able to take control of the whole body.
But she's interfaced before. I don't think she's ever gone that far.
Right.
But, I think, the one that they referenced, I can't remember which one that was, but I wonder if that was in the Revolution tie-in.
Okay. Either way, it's still pretty cool. I liked it. It was neat. So this Liege Maximo, though, he's just been on. Is this like a prison? Is this what this is supposed to be? Because literally, when it opens up, it just looks like it's a hole in the wall. He's just been in this building, in this cell for, ever.
It looks like that's where he was imprisoned, and Alita was tasked with making sure he never got out.
Good job.
Well, it's not her fault the Cybertronian screwed it up.
No, I liked it. It was a good book. Yeah. Looking forward to, what you said, the end of it.
Cool. Yoshi, what are your comments on it?
Well, I'm going to be short and sweet, unless you tell me to expand on it. I did like the story. Mary Grid can write a really good story, and I've been saying that the last couple of times I've read Till All Are One. So if I were a current generation Transformers comic book fan, this is the book I would definitely make sure I was buying. The two things I disliked is when they pulled the Pacific Rim maneuver, which It bugs me just because in the media that I follow, I see this all the time. Just everybody is copying that damn movie, and it, right. I'm personally burnt out on it. Now maybe to most people this is like, oh, how cool is it? You know, I get that, but for me, I'm just it's been abused, and I'm done with it.
I was actually trying to think of the words Pacific Rim to reference, and I couldn't. For some reason, I couldn't remember the name of the movie.
Yeah. I've seen it used so much lately. And I'm going to be the odd man out here. I really did not care for the art in this issue. Maybe, I don't know. I just didn't. To me, it was just, especially for the gargantuan nature of the story, it was too loony-toony for me. And I don't know what else to say. There's a couple of cool moments. Don't get me wrong. There's some places where I'm like, that looks really good. But in general, 90% of it to me is just too loony-toony. Okay. I want to like it because I like the writing of it so much, but I can't.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the whole Liege Maximo thing? Like I said, I don't really have a lot of history with the character.
You took the wind out of any awe-inspiring, breathtaking moment when you referenced him as Loki.
Well, that was my first thing. He's green and he's got the horns.
No, you get. I see that. I see it totally, and I wouldn't be surprised if that was a reference. You know, I don't know. For me, I know so little about him. I guess I don't care. You know, I get that he's an ominous figure. I mean, that's conveyed, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes. But I'm not shocked that he was ripped out of a fucking cell that he's been stuck in for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering if maybe that's one of the reasons they get to use him is he is pretty much a blank slate. I mean, he's always been a big bad, and people know the name, but no one knows anything about him. So she's going to have, you know, largely whatever she wants to do with him.
Right.
All right. Well, Daryl, any last thoughts?
No. I like the book.
All right. Well, that is our book. And enjoy it. And next week, Charles gets to do this. 2 weeks in a row is rough.
You did it fine, sir.
Yeah.
All right. That was a good review, guys. Let's move on to media news. All right, in media news this week, we got eight motion posters for Transformers: The Lost Knight, and one of which revealed our first look at Cogman.
The fuck?
We talked about him before. He's not news, but we get to our first look at what his robot mode face actually looks like. And I mean, it's not distinct. He looks like any Bayformer looks.
Did y'all watch any of these motion posters?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
He kind of looks like there's an air of, I don't know, fanciness about him, the way that he was kind of moving.
Yeah.
You're kind of like you would see like a prissy rich person or something.
Okay.
I don't know. That's just the vibe I got.
Mm-hmm. So the eight are Hot Rod, which, is the black and orange SLK Mercedes. Cogman, which I'm not sure what he transforms into. Optimus Prime, which his poster has him with the purple eyes. Megatron, which I did watch that one, and it looks okay. It looks cool. It shows him with the face mask thing closing up on him. Bumblebee. Barricade, which he's got these knuckle dusters, which I think both of them say punish, which I think is just, that's a pretty cool thing to have.
Yeah, but it should have said punish backwards so you can read it when...
But I think they do in the movie, though.
Oh, okay.
There's... I've seen something that does have them backwards. So
it's a cool gimmick, especially if it's like I punch you and then people can read what was on them.
and then it actually says punish, yeah. So I think it does. I think I've seen something where it says punish, but it is
Ronan
backwards.
Says the other one says enslave.
Right, okay. And then we've got Hound and we've got Squeaks as the final motion poster. So they're neat, they're different. You can go to there's a link to Entertainment Weekly, their site, if you want to watch them all, and that's linked in the story. So take a look at that if that's something you want to see. I suggest looking at them. They're kind of neat. They're not long. I mean, 4 or 5 seconds each. But yeah, take a look. So we've got Transformers The Last Night fan event movie footage to be revealed soon. Now this is in conjunction with the fan event tickets. Okay, so information got revealed that Transformers Last Night was going to be there was going to be a fan event held. It's going to be on April the 4th, so there's still time after this podcast comes out if you're going to go see it. Problem is you've got to go and get your ticket online. The fan event is a 30-minute preview to The Last Night. It's called a sizzle reel, showcasing brand new footage and behind-the-scenes stuff from the movie. So you can sign up to go see this. And
if it's anywhere near you, which it's not for me.
Exactly. It's not like it's in every theater. There's a bunch of very select theaters. And then the next story, that we have the link that for the tickets that are now available, that's where you go and you look for it for a theater near you. The tickets are free. You can get two of them for free each. But check and see if it's near you. I found out about this because somebody tried to be a complete douchebag and posted their tickets, or posted that they were selling their tickets on Reddit in the Transformers forum. And that person was, that post was taken down, and I think they were banned. So,
it's awesome.
So, yeah.
I am seeing that there is one in Toronto.
I'm not driving to Toronto for 30 minutes of this fucking movie.
I tried.
But yeah, so it's free. If you're in the area, you can go. Don't be a douchebag and try and sell your tickets, or else you'll be banned from Reddit.
If you're not interested in the movie, let someone else just get the free tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, don't try and be a douche. Now, next thing, this was kind of big. Transformers Last Night, they had a super fan event, and there are a ton of pictures from this thing. Now, let's see here. So, TFW 2005 was there. They brought Michael Bay there, and I saw that... Marcelo Mater had been brought there.
Nice.
Because it's funny, he was on Instagram and he was posting that he's leaving on this really secret trip. And I'm like, okay, weird. But, and then he started posting.
He also had someone there covering it.
I assume so. They're pretty big. And then he just started, then Marcelo started posting all these really neat pictures from, you know, in front of all these cool shit. So this was where he was, but yeah. So the pictures that are on the site here are just pictures of like the movie cars and some glyphs and that. But there was a whole lot of other shit going on, and yeah. So like I said, Michael Bay was there and a whole lot of other stuff.
Yeah, I actually read
they got to see some movie footage too.
Yeah. What I thought was most interesting was If you look at the TF Wiki link, I'll put that in the show notes.
Okay.
They went into detail on the meeting that they all got to have with Michael Bay.
Okay.
There were no spoilers in this. The guy was really careful about not including spoilers. But he was talking about how, like, you know, Michael Bay realized, like, he has the same feeling that, like, Revenge of the Fallen was not the best movie. But basically, it kind of goes through his mindset of he felt like they still had to push through because he's like, what are you going to do, fire 500 people that were working on it?
Mm-hmm.
He apparently does talk about some of his films just like the fandom does. So it seems like he does have good humor about his own stuff.
Okay.
So it's a view of him that we don't normally see, especially in the fandom.
Right.
And yeah. I think since he is definitely, or according to him, this is his last movie, I think we're seeing a lot less of the typical brash Michael Bay.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good to know that he's got a sense of humor about it. But yeah, no, it was a pretty cool event, and I'm sure we'll hear about more from other news outlets in the coming days. The last piece of news, though, that I wanted to jam in here for media barely qualifies as media, and it's official Transformers costumes for pets.
I quit. I don't know. I'm done. I'll see you guys later. Bye.
That's what it took. All right, perfect. This is the dumbest thing. apparently, you can get costumes, and you can put your pet. These are costumes apparently for dogs. You can put your pet in either Optimus Prime or Bumblebee, and they are going to be released on June 23rd in conjunction with the movie. Oh, no. Yeah. So, yeah, June 23rd. Mm. Dudes, this is ridiculous. I mean, even if I had a dog that would fit this, I wouldn't subject them to this. Well, this is cruelty.
I've subjected my dog to some very embarrassing things, but he would not put up with this.
No.
My first thought when I saw this, though, was that it was photoshopped, because
it looks like it, doesn't
the
it?
The image, I think they did photoshop the headpieces a little bit, but it looks like a photoshop job, the way this particular image that they gave us. But apparently it's an officially licensed thing, and they also have My Little Pony ones if you want that.
Yep. Oh, boy.
I want to see this big, tough dog wearing a My Little Pony costume.
Yeah.
There's nothing that rainbow sparkles about a dog's poop on your lawn.
Anyway, boys, that's it for media news. Let's move into pop culture. This is a topic we haven't had for a while. And probably something, you know, well, we might have one again in a bit. But I saw this and I thought it was kind of neat. That band that's from Toronto, so you know I get the opportunity to see them probably more than most. The Cybertronic Spree, the ones who cover the '86 movie soundtrack
in
full cosplay, they decided because of the impending doom of the Power Rangers movie, they were going to cover the Power Rangers soundtrack, and they did in Transformers cosplay. So if you want to watch that, take a look. We've got a listing here, a link in the show notes, and yeah, they do a pretty good job. So good that the Nerdist picked it up and promoted it. And that's it for pop culture. Let's keep on rolling and go right into feedback.
All right, and we're going to jump to our email for something I overlooked last week, but we got a letter here from Dominic who writes...
Who's a Patreon supporter.
Yes, he is a Patreon supporter.
Sorry.
Thank you very much for your...
I saw his name when I was working on the stuff today.
I feel that it is a good thing to acknowledge those that give us money.
Yes, especially all the way from where he is that you'll read about.
Right. So Dominic writes, "Dear Transmissions team, I've been listening to your podcast for quite a while, and I finally found the time to write a few words to you. I love your show. You guys are hilarious. You are like my buddies that ride with me in the car on my way to work and have a beer with me here late at night. I love how you guys have your individual opinions about Transformers, but respect each other's views mostly. I do like the split format of the show. It helps that I don't have to fast forward the comic reviews to avoid spoilers. Now I can listen to the alt mode when I'm caught up with my comics. I mostly read the physical books, and the shipping to Germany is about 2 weeks behind. I think you guys have the best Transformers podcast. You guys get to the point, but still remain spontaneous but professional. With other Transformers-related podcasts, I feel my ear is being talked off. Some of them are just way too long and blown up. I was also able to listen to the live stream on Discord last night, and although you had some technical difficulties, trips to the store is quite enjoyable. Too bad that we are 6 hours apart. I would listen live more often, but having a Discord channel is an awesome idea since it's a great tool. I will try and listen live as much as I can. I'm writing this, dragging my ass at work after being up since 3 a.m. this morning. But it was worth it." Jesus, after putting that much of an effort, Dominic, I'm sorry it took me so long to get to your letter. I apologize for that. But Dominic goes on to say, "It's great that you review older Transformers comics when there are no new ones available. I went ahead and bought the Spotlight Ramjet to read it during my lunch break. Keep up the good work, you guys. Keep up the good work. You guys are awesome. Greetings from Germany, Dominic." Well, dude, thank you so much. We're glad you appreciate it. You know, we're trying to encompass a lot of views as best as we can. We know there's, for example, we know there's tons of live action Bayformers fans out there, and we're trying really hard to not just constantly hate on it. But thanks for the compliments, man. That's really awesome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And Ronan was asking in the chat if that's why Charles is in Germany.
Yes, Dominic is getting his personal Patreon reward.
No, he gets to get his show live in person.
Yeah, Charles is putting on. Charles is like the Hoff. He's really popular in Germany, so he's putting on a concert. let's see. And in Discord, from a notorious B.I.G. letter C, Charles had this to say directly to me. I don't know if this counts as feedback, but it's funny. "Yoshi, after listening to Alt Mode 17, not arguing with your Optimus Prime 5 review opinion except for one thing." That is arguing, Charles. "The previously and roll call pages don't truncate the number of story pages in the book. They are an addition to the 20 pages in the book. You can skip past them, and they don't take anything away from the rest of the comic. IDW won't add 2 pages of story into the book if you remove those 2 pages. Well, to that I say, why the fuck not? It would make no sense. If they're not going to put fucking previously and roll call, they're going to put ads in.
Yes.
You know, they're either going to put ads or they're going to put fucking story. But
they're not going to add story pages, though. I meant to bring this up last week when you brought it up, because it's art that they already had, and for some reason that doesn't count.
Well, I was under the impression that the reason they reduced the number of pages was because of the printing costs, not because of the artist's costs.
They probably said it was printing costs, but it probably was more that they could shave off 2 pages they had to pay the artist.
Ah, Jesus, that's so fucking stupid. Although I know my opinion is in the minority, especially amongst us four.
Well, we would all love more story pages.
Well, we would all would, but I don't. You know, who's going to point something out? Who's going to point something like that out? I mean, we all kind of bitch about. You know, we wish it was just a little bit longer. They could have flushed out an idea. Then I pointed out what IDW could do, and it's just not possible. They wouldn't pay for that. And I made that comment under the impression that the reason that they don't do that is because it costs so much to just print 2 more pages.
Yeah, I mean, this is why you see James Roberts sometimes do a prose story to get that little extra bit of story that he wanted in there, and they wouldn't do it, but they'll print a page of text.
Yeah. That's just... First, they can't figure out where to put the issue number, and now this.
Yeah.
I'm losing faith, IDW. I know you're listening. So, I guess you are right, and... even from Germany, Charles can be that guy. That's it for feedback, Daryl.
Well, all right. Perfect. Well, that wraps up the show as well. Thank you all for listening. And join us again next week.
Oh, and if you're going to be at DairyCon this weekend... move on over to wherever I am. Just contact me on like Twitter or whatever. Tell me you're there. We'll try to hook up.
I have no doubt you'll be wearing your Transmissions shirt, so he'll be sticking out too.
Yeah, just if you see someone walking around with Yoshi's face on his back, that's me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you haven't already, check out the Transmissions Extra that went up this week. It's all about Yoshi's trip to Emerald City Comic Con and the show that preceded it, or the show that came after it preceded it. Yeah. Our regular Transmissions show, number 218, with the toys and all the other good stuff. Take a listen to that as well. Anyway, thanks a lot for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Transmissions. Remember, you can help support the show by visiting our sponsor, Prime Toys, at primetoys.net. Be sure to use our promo code TRANSMISSIONS during checkout to receive 10% off any regularly priced Transformers item. That's any Hasbro, Takara, or third-party Transformer. For a more personal touch, you can also support the show by donating to us directly via Patreon or PayPal. Once you become a donor, you will receive access to donor-only goodies like donor-only contests, listening to us record Transmissions live, and getting Transmission swag at 20% off. You can find links for this at transmissionspodcast.com/support. Subscribing to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play is also a great way to help support us at Transmissions. Every subscription we get helps us get better noticed on those services. Leaving us a comment and 5-star review doesn't hurt either. Be sure to come chat with us on Discord. You'll find a link for Discord at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Of course, you can always send us an email at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com. And finally, check out our petition to help bring back a G1 Transformers comic. Thank you all again for listening, and we'll see you again next week.